This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. A private company is working to recruit retired law enforcement officers to help deport immigrants who are in the U.S. without proper authorization. So what role should they play in the Trump administration's deportation plans? Joining me now to begin our discussion about this is Butler County Sheriff Richard Jones. Thanks for being here, Sheriff Jones.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I hope you're well.
So I am cold, but doing well.
There you go. It is cold out. So what do you think about this recruitment effort, Sheriff? Do you think there's an appropriate role for private contractors in the Trump administration's deportation efforts?
Listen, the government's always done outside contractors. We've done it for hundreds of years. We've sent people to go fight wars for the government, and we've recruited and paid people. We've had paid private prisons for years. The federal government has used private prisons, and the states, some states have used private prisons. They use bounty hunters. Hell, there was a show called Bounty Hunter. I don't know how it would work. But I've been asked this question before. I'd have to see how they're going to do it. Are they going to be sworn? Are they going to be private? I understand what you're saying. These people are gearing up, and so when the deportation starts, which I think the whole process started a little bit last night, that they want to be ready. When the government needs people, they can say, "We got these people vetted. We got them trained." And here's how we're going to do it. I assume. Now, am I in favor of it? I'm not excited about it. No, but I can be if they explain to me how it's going to work.
Is there a part of the process you think should be left to law enforcement rather than private contractors?
Don't know. I think there's enough law enforcement to help get this done. There's 3,300 sheriffs in the United States, 3,300 counties, naturally 3,300 sheriffs. There's probably 5,000 or 10,000 chiefs of police, probably millions of law enforcement. I think they've got enough law enforcement to get done. That doesn't even count ICE, Border Patrol. I think there's plenty of people, to include the U.S. Marshals. There's plenty of people to do it that are actually law enforcement. I wouldn't think they would need private entities to be contracted to do that, but I am not Mr. Homan. I'm not President Trump. I think this company is doing what they think that's what the private sector does. They look at ways. They probably do it cheaper than the government. Just about everything the government does costs more money.
So what part of it, say if President Trump called you up today and said, "Hey, Sheriff, what should we leave the private contractors out of?" What would you advise him?
I would believe that we should allow the law enforcement, local law enforcement, either in the cities or the counties. Some counties or cities said they weren't going to cooperate, but a lot of them have changed their mind. I believe there's enough, like if they came here and wanted us to join a task force with ICE and go into cities that surround me in Butler County, Ohio, to assist in with rounding up people that are here illegally or have committed crimes or are on the terrorist watch group now, I would assist them. And there's enough to get that done. I don't believe that we would need private companies to do that.
How have you prepared Butler County's jail to support those efforts? Are you keeping some beds available specifically for these efforts?
Listen, we have roughly 200 beds available for them. We've had ICE prisoners here before. I have our Marshall prisoners now, federal contract, and we had ICE prisoners here, a federal contract. We helped with the deportation when President Trump was president. And we helped with deportation when President Obama was here. People have a misconception. President Obama deported more people than President Trump. True story. I'm not making that up. That's not a partisan's comment. I was the sheriff here under that administration. We had ICE offices here, and we done deportation under President Obama. So no, we're preparing. We're meeting with ICE. We've had several discussions with them. We're trying to get the 287G, which is a program that gives you the authority to join task force once you go through the training. And we had that before, 4 years ago, before the past President Biden came in and done away with all that. We sent our people to school. We had deportation hearings here electronically. We helped get people that were being deported to the airport. We transported. I had employees that were trained by the federal government to help with the deportation paperwork, and they were sworn and trained at an academy by the federal government. And we've applied for that now. Under the past administration, it's hard for me to get used to saying that, Biden, we had two 287Gs. One was to join the task force and go out and help with enforcement with the ICE, just like what we have now. Most law enforcement agencies, I have somebody assigned to the FBI task force, to the DEA task force, the Marshals task force. So this would be another task force. But we're preparing every day. I've got cell space. We've been in contact. And now, since the last election, when President Trump was elected, we started preparing for that.
Yeah. And does that bring in revenue for the county to assist in those ways and have those beds available?
Sure. It brings in revenue and it gets people off the street that shouldn't be here illegally. Let me give you an example. In the past 12 months here in Ohio, we're not on the border, but everybody's a border state now. And we're border with Canada by water and by bridge. And the northern border, which is Canada, is off the hooks because all the resources the government put on the southern border. Fentanyl's killed 200 people a year here, 5,000 a year in Ohio, 100,000 a year in the United States. So what we've done is we're getting prepared for it, and we're going to do our part to help with the deportation.
Well, Sheriff Jones, I appreciate your time. I've been talking with Butler County Sheriff Richard Jones. Thank you so much for your time today, sir.
Hey, we'll be talking again, I'm sure.
Thank you. Up next, we're going to continue this conversation. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about an effort to recruit retired local law enforcement officers to help with the Trump administration's deportation plans. Joining me now are Director of International Peace and Security Initiatives at the University of Cincinnati, Julie Leftwich, and Cincinnati Inquirer investigative reporter Dan Horn. Thanks so much for being here, Julie and Dan.
Thanks for having us.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Dan, give us a more detailed understanding of this recruitment effort.
Sure. So in late December, an email started circulating among some local law enforcement officers, and it was geared toward retired law enforcement officers. It was sent by a former FBI agent who works with a security consulting firm in Kansas, who is writing on behalf of another former FBI agent who works on behalf of a consulting firm in Delaware.
Yeah.
And essentially what they were doing was looking for retired law enforcement who would be willing to sign on to do private contracting work to help remove criminal aliens, is the way they phrased it, but immigrants who are not in the country legally under Donald Trump's deportation plans. Exactly what that was going to look like wasn't clear. They did say in the email they anticipated the first wave of deportations, as they put it, would involve immigrants who had committed crimes while they were here. That's a very small part of the immigrant population, particularly the unauthorized immigrant population. So it's not clear how big a pool that's ultimately going to be if they expand it to other immigrants who are not here legally. And that's the big question. But they were getting ready, and it was interesting because they clearly were taking Trump at his word that he was going to launch mass deportations when he took office.
Julie, let's talk about those numbers. Dan just referenced this idea that the first priority could be people who are in this country without proper authorization, who have committed crimes. How big a population is that?
Well, Lucy, it's actually very small proportion in proportion to the you know the number of undocumented immigrants in this country. In fact, recently ICE said that it's is a small fraction of deportations proceedings are people that actually have convictions. So the numbers are about 10% of people who are in deportation proceedings have some kind of criminal conviction, and about 4% of the total 11 plus million of undocumented people in this country have convictions. And I do want to point out that when people think about undocumented immigrants, they tend to think of people who are coming through the southern border, but actually a larger number of people who are here in an undocumented status have overstayed visas. They've come as students or they've come as visitors, and they have just, stayed longer than they were authorized for. So I think it's very important to keep that in mind. I think it's also important, too, to keep in mind that there are, people that come here without prior authorization that have the right to come to our border and ask for protection. So we're talking about asylum seekers who both under both U.S. and international law have a right to seek protection. So, we should not be turning those away. And that's not to say that everybody can stay in this country, but certain people do have the right to come in and make their case. And ultimately, they may not be able to stay. But, I think it's also really important to remember that these are people, and they really need to be treated humanely. I don't necessarily think that everybody gets to stay. I agree if, people are going to come into our country, they need to follow our laws. But I think we also have to differentiate between smaller crimes and crimes that are, serious crimes. So I think, we really have to look at who we're deporting, and the administration has said that the priority will be criminals. But as we saw in the previous Trump administration, they weren't just limiting to that. Even here in the greater Cincinnati area, northern Kentucky, in 2017, we had massive raids where officers were just coming in and picking people off the streets, who are waiting for buses, who are taking their children to school. So I think it's really important to keep all of that in mind.
And Julie mentioned, in terms of people who are here without proper authorization, who have committed crimes, there's a wide range of crimes that covers, isn't there, Dan? I mean,
right. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, I looked at their numbers from last year, and all the immigrants who were arrested, who were undocumented, about 17,000 total had some sort of criminal previous issue. But of those, 11,000 of those was for illegal reentry. So they'd left and come back. So that's 2/3 right there the crime is basically they did it again. About 3,000 others were for DUI, and about 3,500 were for other crimes, which did include some violent crimes. Primarily, they were drug crimes, burglaries, stuff like that. But, these are crimes, but it is important, as Julie said, to talk about what kind of crimes we're talking about. And it matters, but most of the immigrants who are considered criminal are considered criminal because they've crossed the border more than once and been caught doing it.
Sure. We're talking about an effort to recruit retired law enforcement officers to help with the Trump administration's deportation plans. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Julie, what kind of due process are immigrants who are in this country without proper authorization, what kind of due process are they entitled to under U.S. law? This isn't something that people can just be rounded up and sent on planes without anything else happening, right?
Right. So, as I said, people who come to the border and are seeking protection from persecution in their own countries, the process is they have an initial interview with an immigration official to determine whether they have a credible fear of returning to their country. And if so, like I said, they are allowed in to make their case. And ultimately, they might not be able to stay here. We have very clear requirements for who meets asylum. And, even if unauthorized immigrants are, caught detained in the interior of the country, say, you know, in Ohio, just like everybody else, they are, have a right to due process under the law. And like I said, we have to treat everybody humanely and equally.
Dan, it kind of sounds like the people behind this recruitment effort you reported on see this deportation effort as a business opportunity. Sheriff Jones mentioned that Butler County gets revenue from the federal government when they have people in their beds for this reason, their jail beds. Do we know anything yet about what these contracts could be worth?
We don't. But if past is any indication, they could be quite profitable. Private prisons in this country have been booming business for quite a while, and they also are ramping up, by the way, because of this. A number of them see a big opportunity here if that many immigrants are, you know, if we're talking hundreds of thousands or millions, there's got to be a place to put people. And private prisons are ramping up staffing, adding beds. Some of the CEOs of those companies have been talking about that for more than a month now since Trump won re-election. So they see an opportunity there. I think this is probably part and parcel of that. You've got, these security firms that do this kind of stuff. You know, they advise companies, they advise governments. And specifically, this was a request to find people who would be willing to escort detainees from this country to another country. So it'd be kind of an intermediary role. The question, I think, becomes, okay, what is the scope of the work going to be going forward? You know, are these folks eventually going to be used in apprehension, arrests, which is, I think, any law enforcement officer would tell you, a much more complicated and potentially dangerous situation than escorting someone who's already been detained. So there's a whole host of questions about what that means. But, as the sheriff said, I mean, this has been going on for some time. The question is just, you know, how big, how wide a scope is this going to be?
Julie, do you have any concerns about the involvement of private contractors in this work, either operating detention centers or transporting detainees? I mean, what kind of detention facilities now exist at the border?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of concerns. I probably don't agree with Sheriff Jones on many things, but I do agree that, these matters should be left to law enforcement who are trained and sworn. There are huge companies that own private detention facilities at the border and throughout the country. CoreCivic and the GEO company are two of the bigger ones. They, of course, spend millions of dollars a year lobbying. They do stand to make millions of dollars. I looked up some of the statistics from the American Immigration Council. And the U.S. government spends over $30 billion per year on deportation, and more than $1 billion of that goes to private companies. So, but we have seen that, these companies have a record of inhumane conditions and rights abuses within their facilities that could include medical neglect, preventable deaths, limited access to legal help, discriminatory and racist treatment, and other things. One of the issues with these private prisons, as Sheriff Jones called them, is they are not held accountable. The only thing they are really accountable to as private companies is their bottom line. There's no government oversight. It's not like working with law enforcement. So they're actually incentivized to keep costs down and to cut basic services. So, it's absolutely a concern. And I read in, Dan, I don't know if it was your article and another one, but, the person that's trying to recruit people was talking about the need for hard-nosed people who have dealt with, who've been members of SWAT or have dealt with violent criminals. And again, the large majority of people they're going to be working with are not dangerous. They're not violent criminals. So I think there's a lot of room for abuse there.
Dan, have you heard concerns expressed about profiling, too? I mean, if there are profit motives behind all this?
Not as it related to this particular request. I mean, that's always come up when it comes to, arrests and tracking folks down. And I think, you've seen in previous, government raids and efforts to arrest, and this happens periodically, to arrest immigrants who had committed crimes previously. They'll go out, they will target those individuals, they'll make those arrests, but with them, they often get other folks who get caught up in that net, who have not committed crimes but don't have documents. So you end up with that kind of, you know, a wide net. I can't really, collateral, you know, as the probably would call it. No, I mean, there's an open question of just how broad this is going to be and what they're going to be doing. And I think, as Sheriff Jones said, the prisons have been operating for a long time. Detention facilities have been operating for a long time. But when you put people on the street, track people down, that would be a different step. And this email was not suggesting they're going to do that. But who knows where this goes?
Julie, how are local immigration attorneys preparing people for these deportation efforts?
Well, I think it's very similar to what we saw, as I said, under the Trump administration, where there, you know, were so many roundups of immigrants. So part of it is really teaching immigrants about their rights, because they do have rights, and what they should do if, you know, ICE or, you know, other law enforcement officials come knocking at their door. You know, certainly, you know, attorneys and organizations will be preparing to, you know, help immigrants throughout the area.
Well, we're going to be paying attention to this for many months to come. I've been talking with Director of International Peace and Security Initiatives at the University of Cincinnati, Julie Leftwich, and Cincinnati Inquirer investigative reporter Dan Horn. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. And if you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.